Hi, Jewish man. So I'm so excited today, this evening, to be in Ashdod with in the home of my teacher, Rabbi Niven. I've been studying with Rabbi Niven now for almost 12 years. I listen to his classes every week now, but I rarely see him in person. So it's such a pleasure speaking with him and just speaking with his wife Ayala, with his Rebbetzin. And so one of the big reasons I definitely wanted to come here now and speak with Rabbi Niven is because for Rabbi Niven students, then Elul is a huge, huge deal. Elul is like the most important month in the year. So Elul starts next Motzei Shabbat, next Saturday night. So I wanted to speak with Rabbi Niven about authenticity. That's the name of his new course starting August 11th. It's called The Authentic Way. And I also want to talk with him about Elul and how busy Jewish moms can really maximize and get a lot out of Elul. So let me just introduce, for those of you who don't know him, Rabbi Niven is an expert in Jewish personal development for today's day and age. Jewish personal development can be defined as working on one's character traits, learning how to live a happy life, and developing a positive relationship with God. In the Chabura system, which I've been participating in for 12 years, the vision we are striving for is that of vitality, transcendence, and powerful joy. During his 15 years of work at Eshet Torah, Rabbi Niven created a system of Jewish personal development based on his experience in guiding students. In 2007, he left Eshet to pursue a career in life coaching. Today, he coaches community rabbis, frontline Kiruv professionals, business people, CEOs, and people from all walks of life, in addition to his work with the Chaboras. So Rabbi Niven, I'm interested to hear about your background. So you now live in Ashdod. You're originally from, what's your background?
I was born in the Bronx. Hmm. Way back when the Bronx had Jews. Mm-hmm. Still has a little bit left, but it's filled with Jews. I was born 60 years ago. This is my 60th birthday this year.
Wow, mazel tov.
And then after a while, we escaped to New Jersey. Uh-huh. And I grew up in the... In an affluent Jewish suburb, maybe I shouldn't say the name, and I was there till I was 18 years old.
Wow.
And at 18 years old, I went to an airplane to Eretz Israel. I landed here, and I never went back other than visiting the parents every once in a while. Mm. So are you interested in my...
I'm interested, what's happened, just briefly, it's an interesting note, how did you go from New Jersey to living in, the community of, now you're Pittsburgh or Chassid?
Right.
Yes, it's interesting to know briefly, how that...
Well, we grew up surrounded by swimming pools on each side, and if you have five people in the family, you have five cars, that type of thing, and beautiful neighborhood. And it started getting, the people started buying boats, after the cars got bored, then the boats came in.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't for me. There was a big chase after materialism, and I was very unhappy there. I was a searcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a searcher far back as I remember. And I remember we had this one park in my place, and they had this thing called pagodas. You know what a pagoda is?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we used to climb up on the pagodas, which weren't allowed. Me and my friends used to sit on the pagodas and just look at the stars, right? And I was sitting there just spouting philosophy all the time, just talking, what's life all about? What are we doing here? And my friends were very polite, but they didn't know what I was talking about. So after a while, I decided that it was time to move on, and I came to Eretz Yisrael.
Mm.
And they did many rounds in Eretz Yisrael to different types of communities and places. Until finally, one day I bumped into the great Rav Noach Weinberg.
Mm.
And
the founder of Eshet Torah.
The founder of Eshet Torah, yeah, sure.
Mm.
And we had a tremendous time together, immediately connected.
Mm.
We argued happily for hours without stop.
How old were you then?
I was just turning 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
And we connected. And he brought me into his activist philosophy, let's say that way. And immediately, when I was just a new, a young boy learning, he said, well, if you learn something, you have to teach it. It was like immediate, because that's what his philosophy was. Mm-hmm. So fine. So I started teaching, and I had my first chavura at 19 years old.
Wow.
I had about 30 guys in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the Misul Shasharim. And the Vilna Gaon says that the first 8 chapters of the Misul Shasharim are, they're not a superfluous word.
Wow.
So I took a bunch of new people, and I decided to show them what the Vilna Gaon said.
Mm-hmm.
And we took the first line of the Misul Shasharim, and we learned just the first line for 20 hours.
Wow.
Not in a row, like an hour a day for about a month.
Wow.
And they got the message. Anyway, subsequently, I got more involved in teaching. I eventually joined the Discovery staff at 27. I was a very young, whatever, teacher. And then that grew on to other things, and then I went into the Beis Midrash.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always involved in teaching people and actually doing a lot. I actually was Rav Noach's personal secretary for 3 years. I was in his office just about all day long for 3 years.
Wow.
So he was a very, what could I say, great man. I have hundreds of stories I can tell you about him and his greatness and what he's all about and his power. And he got me to be involved in Sarfei Tzibur. So eventually Rav Noach passed on, and I decided to move into personal development work outside the Yeshiva. Oh, no, actually, it was before, actually, no. I moved on, and he was my greatest supporter, and I don't want to, it's not nice to say friend, but he would support me and be my friend and help me. And when I would get stuck with a question I wouldn't know, I'd call him up, and he'd help me.
Wow.
And then eventually he passed on, and then I was looking for another mentor because I'm a guy who needs mentors, people to grow from. And then I met the Pittsburgh Rebbe. This was
who was in Ashdod.
Right,
yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
So my sister actually told me to get connected with him, and it was love at first sight. And then eventually I came to him every 6 weeks for about 2 years. And then he said, after 2 years, he looked me in the eye and he said, the work you do, I was in Beitar, I can tell you about that also.
You were one of the founders of Beitar, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was one of the first 25 families in Beitar.
Wow.
It was one street, now it's, who knows, 10, 20,000 families.
Wow.
Through the first 25 on this empty mountain. I lived in the first building that was ever built on the mountain of Beitar.
Wow.
I lived in that building, that was my house for a while. And I was 17 years in Beitar, and then at the end of the 17 years, the Rebbe looked me in the eye, gave me this strange look, and then he said, you know, your work doesn't need to be done in Beitar. And I said, no, and he said, well, your tikkun is finished in Beitar, it's time to come to Ashdod.
Wow.
And that was all sort of another story, a whole other story in my lifetime, but Baruch Hashem, I was very, very deeply connected to the Rebbe. For 17 years, unfortunately passed on the circus of Corona. And here I am.
Right,
I have hundreds of stories along the way I could tell you about each journey and what each person meant to me and how they guided me.
I'm wondering, like, how, so you at the age of 19, you were already, sounds like, seriously involved in personal development. You were passionate about that. Like where most 19-year-olds aren't, I guess you were a very searching person.
Right.
But to this day, you know, it's been like
40 plus years
that you've been
that's
passionate
all day long.
All that. So where do you think, where did this come from? This passion about this?
I think it came from Susavos. My father was a Holocaust survivor. He went to the 7 levels of Gehenna in his lifetime.
Wow.
He lost his whole family except for one brother, and the whole extended family was wiped out.
Wow.
But my grandfather was a learning man, and he learned, he never stopped learning, even in the Lodz ghetto. He never stopped learning all day long.
Wow.
Even when they weren't giving food, he kept learning.
Wow.
And then my great grandfather also, so we come from a family of teachers. So that's where I think it was. But I was always searching it. In Fairlawn, I was always hunting and searching and learning and studying
Right.
all the different types of personal development there was.
Huh. Yeah. Your father, your father came from a family of Gera Hasidim?
Yeah, he was a Gera Hasid.
Right, right. Wow. Fascinating. Okay.
An interesting story, just on the side.
Yes.
We moved to Pittsburgh. We became part of the Pittsburgh Hasidic community. And then after we were here for a few years, my father-in-law told me that he was born in Pittsburgh.
Mm.
And it turned out his standik was the Rebbe's grandfather.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. And we have a special Ksav Kabbalah of his father, Shchita. He was also a big Rav, my wife's father. So we all, everything comes around to the different places that he's around.
Wow, fascinating. So you're a father of many children. You have been about 14 children. Now I know, five married. I got the update from Ayala before she went into interview. How has being the father of a large family, how has that impacted you? How has that shaped you as a person involved in personal development?
Well, first of all, you learn a lot about life by having a large family. You know, people try to understand teenagers at all the stages of adolescent development. I don't have to study it. I have a kid every single age, from beginning to age. I can see them all. Even now I have all the ages from, we're fitted, you know, my youngest kid is 11 now, but I have all the ages, all the way up.
And now with grandchildren you have.
Exactly where the children ended, the grandchildren began, so it goes down in. So I'm able to see a bird's eye view of all the stages of development at once, so that's very interesting. And also you have these journeys with your children, and there's nothing like making you real than having children who are going through some of their own personal journeys and trying to understand about life. Can I show you my babushka doll there?
Yeah, definitely, please.
This is what's known as a babushka doll. Okay, now a babushka doll looks like one doll, right? And then you open it up, and there's another doll, right? And then you open it up, and there's another doll. And then finally, there's another one even in there. I didn't even know that. Five levels of the soul, okay? And then finally, if you can see it, there's a little baby babushka doll at the end, okay? Anyway, so it says, Elokai, my God, the soul that you put in me is pure, right? So this is our pure, godly soul all the way at the bottom. You see that? Right? And what happens is we have all these layers on us. One layer is the emotions. Another layer is the midos. Another layer is the thoughts. And finally we have the layer which is the body. This is our external goof, right? So this, Elokai neshama shenasata b'tahori, my God, the soul which you put in me is pure. This is our essence, is a pure soul. And we have different layers around us, emotions, midos, thoughts, and of course our physical body. Now these parts of us, we get corrupted in our life journey, we could be born corrupted. Mm-hmm. Our goal in life is to uncorrupt these parts, right, until we become the Adam HaShalem, which is the name of my research organization, the complete man, the Institute for the Perfection of Man.
So fixing our character traits, our emotions.
And our thoughts.
Our thoughts,
character traits, and emotions.
Wow, this is amazing. Wow.
So it's a very, very amazing muscle of what life's all about. Anyway, back to having children. Having children, you know, this white beard is from my 13-year-old. This is from my 15-year-old, but he did that. And this is this, right? So every child is another journey. And some kids have very, very hard journeys. And our goal is to guide them on their journey. So
it's fixing each level of the babushka doll.
Every level of the babushka doll.
Wow.
So, for example, I had a wonderful son. I'm not going to say his name.
Mm-hmm.
But he had ADD, not ADHD, mm-hmm. which is a concentration of disorder. Fine kid, never bothered anybody, just couldn't concentrate. And he couldn't pay attention in class. Sweetest, nicest guy in the world anyway. He had a bit of social issues because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, just the whole thing fell apart, and There were some unhealthy people in the school he was in, and he wasn't able to move on. And so we found a place for him, and that didn't work. And then finally, everything was going downhill fast. So I went head to head with the whole world, and I said, we're going to keep him home, and we're going to homeschool him.
Wow.
Right? That's very not known in my part of the world. I had no experience. Anyway, I found him a mashgiach, and then I set him up with four or five hours of learning with amazing people all day long for 2 years. Okay?
Wow.
And everybody was against me. Everyone was against me.
Abraham, how old was he?
He was, must have been about 14 or 15. That's a good with dates. He was home for 2 years, and the whole world just said, no, 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 you can't do this.
Wow.
And I said, this is the only way it's going to work. Anyway, after 2 years, he was able to go back to yeshiva. And today he's over 20, and he's an amazing kid.
Wow.
And he's going to do his first stint at Kiruv work in some far off part of the world, which I can't say where he's going.
Wow.
He started Kiruv, doing Kiruv work in his early 20s.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like that journey, believe me, I couldn't sleep at night because I didn't know. Now everybody said, understood why it worked. But it's not for everybody. But that was one of my many journeys because I had many kids who were outside the box and didn't fit into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And for all different types of reasons, both good and bad. And so every child peels away another layer of our babushka dolls.
So it's not only us fixing their babushka doll, it's also through that fixing them, we're fixing ourselves.
Wow. Yeah, and you get to the deeper layers when you get to the pure level of the soul, the true knowledge, it's called. Rabbi Avigdor Miller calls it the true knowledge.
Yeah.
You pierce through all the layers and you see what's true.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, in all of my journeys, and there's been many journeys, some of them extremely, extremely serious journeys.
Yeah.
Had very big layers peeled off, and God said, "I want you to be real with the Torah you're teaching."
Wow! It's like you always say, "Life is a full contact sport."
Life is a full contact.
It's like no holds barred.
Right.
I was wondering, like in your specific approach, like what have been your main teachers and inspirations, like Jewish and non-Jewish, in personal development?
Okay, well, in Jewish, the Sod of a Rebbe. Mm-hmm. The Sora Rebbe Zatzal, the Nesiv HaShalom, has a mimer which we learn every year, like chapter 6 of the Tirei Hadas. He's the foundation for my whole program.
Wow.
I've literally taught his mimer hundreds and hundreds of times, and there's non-stop depth, right? In this week's Parshas Re'eh, take a look at the Sora number there, you'll see some amazing. So he was very foundational. I, in my early wilder days, I was into Novartic Worcester, including some of their crazier practices, like not sleeping at night and all types of wild stuff. That was another interesting journey.
Mm-hmm. How many years were you into that?
I would say about 5.
Wow.
5 years, but I have great stories about that also. But that was a very interesting journey. But that wasn't, for some reason, I had to move on from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, be connected with Noach Weinberg and the Six Constant Mitzvahs and his world-changing philosophy.
Yeah.
Of course, there's the Ramchal.
Mm-hmm.
I've taught the Tachlis Habriya of the Derech Hashem, which is the purpose of creation, hundreds and hundreds of times.
Right.
That unlocks it. Rav Dessler, Rav Victor Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And in positive psychology, I've also learned about easily 20 or 30 shittas from start to finish, from top to bottom. Some of them exploring them for many years, trying to extract the Torah out of them, if you'd like to say it that way. Torah begaluta, the Torah is in exile.
Right.
The Zohar. So extracting the primal things and having tremendous interesting experiences with some of the big gurus over there.
Interesting. It's not finding the Torah in the gurus.
Well, I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
But one time I was thrown out of a seminar because I refused to do one of their. I was thrown out because I refused to do one of their exercises, and I told them in advance I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And they still. So they threw me out. I was like,
wow.
But these were charities that were under the supervision of my Rebbeim, who encouraged me, and they weren't independent journeys.
Right.
But, so that's interesting.
Okay. So, Elle, as I said in the beginning, Elle starts this coming Saturday night. Rosh Chodesh Elle, the 30th of Av. So, can you explain to me? I know that in the Chabura, I've been learning now for almost 12 years that Elul is such a central month. It's the most important month. Why is that? What's so important about Elul?
Well, Elul, first of all, Rosh Hashanah is called Yerach HaIsanim, the month of the mighty ones, right? So Rosh Hashanah forms our whole year. The mighty ones is all the mitzvahs we have in there. So every year we're supposed to, during the Aseret Bei Teshuva and Sukkot, we're supposed to build ourselves anew. So how do you know what to do? So Hashem took the Ha'ara, the illumination of the upcoming year, and He put the sparks of it in Elul. So somebody who hunts in Chodesh Elul is going to find out what his next year is really going to be all about. So therefore Elul is called International Deep Thinking Month. That's what we call it in the Chaboras. It's a month of introspection. It's a month of contemplative, deep state of finding yourself, finding what life's all about. And I live Elul every day of the year. I do a thing called verbal introspection. I do a deep introspection. And it's all built into the roots of Elul. Because when you do the deep thinking work of Elul, it literally, it's the karka, it's the whole foundation of your whole world. And every day you can get back to the roots of Elul and Yonik and Mitradesh and how do we say, suck up the, come into contact, Yonik from, get nourished from the Chodesh Elul. Anyway, so I say a word, I say it in all the classes, but I used to say 1 hour of Elul work is 10 hours of a regular month. And then one day I said, you know something, that's not even true. It's got to be something like 100, right? But I didn't have a source. So I said it, but then I got embarrassed, and then I said, I have to hunt. Anyway, I then found this Ben Ish Chai, which I say in every year in our Elul thing. And the Ben Ish Chai says, one moment of Elul is worth a full month of another year. Now, how we understand that requires deep thought. What is that? How is that possible? But anyway, that's all. That's much more than 1 in 100. So yeah. I was joking that, but it's true, because when you do Elul right and you do the infrastructure work, the whole building rests on it the whole year. If you got the infrastructure right, then the whole year, one moment of Elul can save you thousands of hours during the year, literally.
Wow.
So for somebody who does the Elul work in whatever fashion, we'll see how Jewish moms will do that in a moment, can connect to the deepest levels of themselves that's not available during the other times of the year.
Wow.
So Elul is coming home. It's like coming home. It's the picture we try to use is, let's say, guys in World War II fighting in France and Normandy, and then the war's over and he comes home. He comes back to his farm with his little backpack on his stick, and he's coming home. And Elul's where we come home
and
for.
And it's a very nice thing in the Chaboras, you know, for people who are there the whole year, and then there's certain people who come back just for Elul. The participants who just come back every year to participate for a month in Elul, coming back to...
Right. Yeah. We have a Chabor community that's over 20 years old now.
Wow.
And we have participants in our class who are there. We have one participant who was part of the original Chabura.
Right.
We have a few people who came on a couple of years later. But in Elul, everybody does come home. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of participants who came back. We call it the Elul Experience.
Yeah.
And they come back for the 2 months. And people.
And you have just a plug. Starting August 11th, it's going to be starting the new Elul Chabura. But it's actually called The Authentic Way,
How to Find Your Life Purpose. It's a life purpose training program, how to go into your deepest self and find your life purpose and what life is all about. And
yeah. And there's also going to be something called the Elul Boot Camp starting, I believe, August 30th.
The last week of the year.
The last week of the year, right before Rosh Hashanah. If you can't commit for all of August, you can come for this last minute Elul Boot Camp to get the most out of Elul.
In 4 days. 1 hour a day. You get
wow.
the whole thing.
Wow.
But the authentic way is much more than we take the Elul people and we do it in 4 months, actually. And then we add on for people who want to stay for the 8 months. We take the thing and we show them the deeper part of it. It's different than the regular Elul program.
I see.
We're showing them the inner part of it, how
yeah.
to teach others and things like that.
Right.
For people who want to learn up the curriculum and teach others.
I see. So for people interested in learning more about that, like you can find out more at www.newchabura, spelled C-H-A-B-U-R-A, newchabura.com. What about for someone who's a complete beginner who this is the first time they've ever heard about Rabbi Niven? And
they could come in too, just to have to put themselves up to the world of Elul. We have a wonderful community. We have a liaison. We now add a liaison to every chabura, who's like an accountability partner, someone who'll be with you, call you up, make sure you're in the sugya and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I just have to say, one of the things that gives me the most nachas I've had JewishMom.com, I think, for about 11 years. Something that brings me the most joy is when people come to me and say, I just want you to know that 7 years ago you told me to join the chabura, and I did it, and it's changed my life.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so what about busy Jewish moms? We're in the middle of summer vacation, and how are we supposed to do Elul?
Well, this year is very strange because usually we have August, then we have September, and September is Elul, and then we go into Rosh Hashanah. This year, Labor Day is September 6th, and the night of September 6th is Rosh Hashanah.
Wow.
So the whole preparation month, now people are on vacation for Elul. So, if somebody just wants to commit, we'll get to the menorah summit or in a second, but if somebody wants to commit to 5 minutes or 10 minutes or even 15 minutes a day, or for the first half of Elul 5 minutes and the second half 15 minutes a day, that's okay. If you do just 5 minutes of deep Elul work a day for busy Jewish moms, and the 25th day of Elul is the beginning of the creation of the world. So we have a ceremony, actually. We all take our Elul plans and we hold it in our hands. And it's Shkia, which is sundown, the 25th day of Elul, which is the Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
We take our Elul plan and we wave it before Hashem. We said, Hashem, I did the Avoda of Elul. And we have hundreds of people are doing it all over the world.
Yeah.
Every continent, every place in the world. Actually, we have different... Australia goes first, and then we go. I don't think we have anybody in Hawaii. Hopefully. We got to get one Hawaiian. We got every other place, you know. But
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the menorah summit war says that it's impossible to merit in judgment. You need all 30 days of Elul, which means Lamed Av, which is this Sunday, Saturday night Sunday, is the 30th day of Av, but it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. So the menorah summit war says the segula to merit in Elul is to do just 1 minute of Elul work a day, 1 second of Elul work a day for all 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that will get you to merit in judgment.
So what is Elul work? Let's say someone's saying, what is this Elul work?
Who am I? Why did God bring me into the world? Right? Everybody was brought here with a unique life purpose and a unique life mission. And a unique bavush gadol, I might add. And everybody's here to bring a special, unique light into the world.
Mm.
And as it says, the Holy Arizal, there's nobody in the whole world who has the light that you have. There never was, is, or will be another neshama like yours for all eternity.
Mm.
So you are the most valuable person in the whole world. The whole world needs your light. And when we all discover our light, no matter what that light is, and we bring it to fruition, it literally changes the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they say that the metaphor is it's like a Sefer Torah. There's 600,000 primal souls in Klal Yisrael, and there's 600 allegoric letters in the Sefer Torah. everybody gets a letter, and everybody has to write their letter in the Sefer Torah of life in their lifetime. Now, what happens if a letter is missing from a Sefer Torah? It's fussel.
Right.
So everybody's neshama is here to bring it to the world in its own unique way. So when you know your unique life purpose, it's enormously pleasurable, because Hashem created in the creation that when we fulfill our unique life purpose, our neshama buzzes, it hums, it's in its zone, it's happy, it's fulfilled, it's and you know that.
Yeah, I know. A lot of JewishMom.com, it's really like every year, like doing the Elul plan and like even doing interviews now. It's all thanks to Rabbi Niven, the Elul plan, JewishMom.com, following the,
We have the Shabbos all over the world who are doing all amazing things. That was all because they, you know, one lady who runs a major Jewish organization today, I don't know if I have permission to say her name, but she gets up and it says it all came out of our Elul class. And she herself has a couple hundreds of women following in her program what she's doing. So when a person finds the Neshama, find out what they're here for, and Jewish moms have a particular unique take in that, it literally changes the world in the most profound way. And nobody should say, who am I? What's my Neshama worth? I'm just dust in the wind. And there's how many people in the world? 8, 9, 10 billion people in the world. Who am I? What do I mean anything? And there's billions of Jews in the world. Who am I? No. The Arizal says that you are the most important person in the whole world. And it says in the Mishnah, Chayav Adam Lomor, a person is obligated to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the world is created for me. It's not like this is like some nice word, right? You know, it's a Mishnah, you can't argue on it. But you're chayiv to say, which means, of course, there are other things you have to weigh out against it. The world is created for me. That me achieving what I'm here for, what my life is all about, is the greatest thing in the world.
How should a busy mom figure this out?
Okay. We have a whole program dedicated to that, so it's a little bit hard to say al regalachas on one foot. But the main thing is to look back in your life, and it's called a yud moment. A yud moment is when my neshama buzzes. We have to define what that means, but there are moments in life where we access our life purpose. When we access our life purpose, our neshama buzzes, and it's pleasurable, and it's meaningful, and it's exciting, and it's powerful. So the first thing, maybe go back and think about when in your lifetime maybe you did chesed in an old age home, or maybe you worked with wayward youth, or maybe you did some fundraising campaign. And of course, you know, the children's aspect of it we also have to talk about, but to find our the places in our life, when and how our neshama buzzed, and that's a code. God gave, and this is not just, people say, how can you know your life's purpose? The Balei wants to talk about it. And the Arizal talks about it, and the Vilna Gaon talks about it, that our neshama talks to us when we access our life's purpose. So it's like a code, there's a code in there. Now, not everybody has paid attention to those experiences, so there's other ways you could find it. But when a person finds what they're here for, you can I don't know, it doesn't sound right, you can buzz all day long, even with a house full of children. Which is a different aspect of the whole thing.
So can I ask you, like, what is your thing? Like, what is your individual life purpose?
I want to bring personal development, Jewish personal development to the world in a way that will empower people. And I wake up at about 5:30 every morning, and I go until about, I cut a little bit back, but I used to go till midnight, but then that got too much, so I stopped at 10 or 11 o'clock, and I start all over again. At 6 o'clock, I speak to New York. The 11 o'clock was in New York. At 7 o'clock, I speak to the Los Angeles people, right? Okay, and then I dive in.
Then I do my life coaching, and then I speak
to people all over. And then I have different stages of the day where I meet my staff in the morning, and I prepare classes in the middle of the day. and I do 4 hours of coaching, and then I have a chavura, and I do night coaching, and then it's over. But the whole day is speaking with people all over the world, and who are having both who want to do the positive aspect of life coaching and some of the harder, unfortunate stories that people go through, some of the difficulties and marriage problems, complicated children, and the work that I've done and what I'm doing. I have a 95-year-old, a 94-year-old client now. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
My youngest is 17. My oldest is 95.
Wow.
You're right, having a 94-year-old client.
Wow. Can I ask you, so among your clients who are moms,
yeah,
so what's the most common, what are the most common issues that moms are facing?
Well, of course, in the younger years, it's the balagan of all the little children, you know, there are different. We have a class on life cycles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the pre-bar mitzvah phase, and you have many little children going around at once.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I? What's my life all about? It's just one. It's like a whirlwind of children. So that's an issue. We have time management courses,
mm-hmm,
especially geared for women and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the middle years, and then there's the dating years. And of course, there's getting along with your good old spouse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have a connected marriage course also. How to stay connected to your husband.
I know. In addition to your extremely non-stop schedule, you said you and Ayala have breakfast together every morning for an hour or something.
It's scheduled for an hour.
Yeah.
It gets to 45 minutes, and then We try to connect at least a half hour in the hour,
right,
but it takes an hour to get the connection.
Totally, yeah.
And then at the end of the day, we try to shut down,
mm-hmm,
until one of us falls asleep first.
Right.
From tiredness. But she also has a 24-hour day.
Right. Yeah.
But it's important. It's important to start your day with your spouse, and it's important to end your day. Literally, you're on your, even though your wife and yourself are one soul, you have to reconnect. You have to begin the day, end the day. Not everybody could do, but at least end the day with the souls reuniting emotionally and shutting down shop together.
Mm-hmm.
Even if one spouse wants to stay up later, but at least have that time to connect.
Right. Like even if it's just a few minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it should be like we're on our journey, and I mean, I have my particular journey, my wife has her journey. We got to come together at the end of the day to reconnect, because
mm-hmm,
we're one.
Mm-hmm.
And without that, then you become roommates. You can be married and be a roommate. You know, be a roommate, you want to be a connected soul.
Right. Okay, so I was hoping, so we're going to be finishing up in about 5 minutes. If you have any questions for Rabbi Ari Niven, now is the time. You can write them in the chat. But I was hoping to do with you like a visualization, like just like a resume about this coming.
Okay, so we have an extra. Do you want to do it until the 25th day of Elul or for the year?
Maybe Rosh Hashanah, then people can more like.
Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Okay. So listen, Elul is the. Let me just get my timer on here.
Okay.
I have a special timer that I use for my thing over here.
But I see you have world clock. You have all of the entire world on this clock. You have like LA, New York.
Right. I literally know how to be in different time zones all during the day.
Wow.
So it's a special
thing. I'm Ashdod.
I'm Ashdod.
Okay.
But anyway, so Elul is the most special month of the year, and Elul creates our tashtit, our foundation for the rest of the year. So Elul is this Motzei Shabbos, this Saturday night, and we have this thing called a presume, from the word presume. So it's a backwards resume.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to imagine yourself, well, first of all, so Elul, you want to be, if possible, more meditative, more serene, more quiet, more introspective, more meditative. But if you're a busy Jewish mom with a full house, it's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 50 minutes a day. Maybe you could get a I don't know, get some one of your older daughters to help you for a bit longer. You want to go inside and just imagine yourself or envision yourself how you would like to be. So the resume exercise is, the backward resume, you imagine yourself sitting in your reclining chair, whatever you're doing, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and you say, this was the greatest Elul I ever had in my life. And here's the story of how I used Kodesh Elul. And you write a backward story. And then what happens is, it disaffects a certain part of the brain that creates an image in your mind, and we're drawn towards visual pictures. Mm-hmm. But Desser has a whole maimer on it, mm-hmm, about visualization. So what I want to do is, 2 minutes going to be enough, or we'll just get started? Or
you
want to
do how much do you have
them
for 4 minutes?
Let's just get them started. They can finish on their own. Okay,
yeah,
good. Okay. So I'm going to click my timer here for 2 minutes, and I'm even going to do the exercise myself. You want a piece of paper or a pen?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much.
Okay. What I want you to do is imagine yourself, close your eyes. I'm going to set a 2 or 3 minute timer. Take a deep breath. I want you to imagine yourself on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and it's the greatest Elul you ever had, and whatever hits you is the deepest, most powerful, impactful moment you ever had. And I want you to sit, I want you to write down the story, and we'll do this for 2 or 3 minutes. After we get off the film here, you can continue and finish the exercise later. Okay, I'm setting the timer here. We can do 3 minutes. Okay, ready? Think back and then write the story of how Ella was the greatest month of your life. You introspected. You did everything. Okay, take a minute and just write out what happens. It begins, this Ella was the greatest Ella of my life. Okay? Here we go. I'm going to write as well. Another 15 seconds. And I'm going to ask you to read what you wrote.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Now I get to. Trick job, that one, huh?
But it can't be Mrs. Anonymous. Usually it's like the Mrs.
Another 5 seconds. And we know this is just the beginning. We're just giving you a basic tryout of how to do it. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And exactly 3 minutes over here. Okay. Am I embarrassing you?
Oh, okay. So let me think. I'll just give some examples. I imagined that I wanted to do every week an interview related to Elul.
Oh, great.
I want to go to Kibbutz Tzadikim. I hope after this I'm going to go visit the grave site of the Pittsburgh Rebbe, the late Pittsburgh Rebbe. That'll be a good start. And to go meditate in Jerusalem Forest near where I live. I want to talk with my Yod plant and my Elul plant and my Elul goals with my husband. And also celebrate my victories from last year. So someone mentioned that in the Chabor. I thought that was a fantastic idea. You said it was another exercise that Rabbi Niven suggested to make a list of 50 successes from this past year.
And it has to be 50.
Yeah.
It can't be 45. It can't be 40.
Sorry, it's 20. I already wrote down 20, so I'm going
to
go back.
And you have to get to 50. If you don't get to 50, it doesn't work. You have to do 50.
Right. So now I'm already 20 in, but so to celebrate, like to really take some time to celebrate what I've accomplished, especially this year of Corona, like what we Jewish moms. Right. I just thinking that the fact that all of my kids, not all of my kids did so great during the lockdown, but all of none of my kids have been kept back a grade. So I said, okay, none of my kids were kept back a grade for that.
No, this is a very special Elul because we're in the tzel, the shadow of Corona, Miami, Kibbutz Zev. I had a son in the Maroon tragedy. He was underneath. Did you know that?
Yeah, I didn't even lie about it. It's terrifying.
I had a son who was in the body and was miraculously saved. He was under all the body. My son, you know. So it's a special year, Corona. So after this year, we can't just have a regular Elul. I had a chavur called New World, New You, right? So it's a special, special Elul. Mm-hmm. And we want to make the best of it, and we want to go deeper than we would in a regular year, because Hashem is peeling away the babushka dolls over there, you know?
Yeah.
Peeling away all of our layers to make us more real and more bigger.
Wow. So what are we supposed to do with this? Like you're saying, it's a very heavy, very powerful year. So talk to us, what am I supposed to, how are we supposed to access?
Well, it's very important to do Elul B'Simcha, right? The early generations of the Musa movement emphasized the fearful part of Elul. Mm-hmm. The fish in the sea trembled when Elul came in. But the later generations, including the later generations of the Musa movement, emphasized the joyous, loving, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. Which is Hashem. Right. So you have to do. First of all, you have to do it in a beloved, kind way. But we can't be the same after what happened in our world. You know, we can't be the same. You know, we've had Hashem turned our world upside down. We want to be a little bit more deeper and a little bit more real.
And your Rebbe, the Pittsburgh Rebbe, died from Corona.
The Pittsburgh Rebbe, right? Died.
Yeah.
Died of Corona. Right. So he was a Corbin of the can I tell a quick story?
Yeah, definitely.
So my son, my father-in-law passed away. I'm not so good at dates. 4 months ago, 5 months.
I heard Tevis. I just figured out your last name. She said Tevis.
Tevis, great. Yeah. Thank you. See, she knows more about my life than I do. So my son had a baby a month after that. Newly married baby boy, and he's a Pittsburgher Hasid as well. So we had a dilemma. Who does he name the boy after, right? So he went to the new Rebbe, the Rebbe's son, and he said, I don't know what to name the boy after. The name after my grandfather. I have a mitzvah kibud avim. Mm-hmm. Or the Rebbe, I have a mitzvah kibud avim. So the Rebbe said, hands down, you name after your father-in-law. Why? Because where else do you have a mitzvah that promises you long life? Wow. Right? Where else do you have a mitzvah? You can't turn that down. You have a mitzvah of long life.
Honor your parents.
Honor your parents, right? Yeah. Honor my wife, who's right. Anyway, 1 month later, he was walking down the ramp.
In Meron.
And he was in the Meron tragedy. And he had, without getting too descriptive, was over. And then, miraculously, he got an air hole that came out of the thing. He was able to get his hand and he grabbed the foot of a policeman. Right. And the policeman pulled him out My son was in the hospital for 2 or 3 weeks in Zeev in Sfas, and lo and behold, he was saved. He merited a long life. So the Rebbe, the Rebbe Shlita, the current Rebbe, said
the son of
the Pittsburgh Rebbe said, "Who knows that the fact that he did do it did save him." Pretty wild, huh?
Oh, that he gave that name to honor your what to honor
right,
his mother.
In order to have a long life.
Wow.
And exclusive. Anyway, that's a bit of a tangent, but that's what life is all about: going on our journeys and peeling the layers away and finding the deepest part of our souls, and that's what it's all about, you know.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Rabbi Nevin. Has anyone written in the?
They wrote that brachot, the amazing interview.
Yeah. So thank you so much, and thank you to Hannah Orozco, our always camera woman and right hand, my right hand woman. So thank you so much, Rabbi Niven. Thank you so much for taking time. I know, like in Elul, especially Rabbi Niven basically works about a 24-hour. Because this is when people are calling all over the world to get ready for Elul and Rosh Hashanah. And, so thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And again, just to repeat, I mean, you want to learn more about joining the Chaboras, I mean, I very, very highly recommend. So you can check out newchabora.com. There's a new Chabora starting on August 11th, and then Elul Boot Camp is a 4-day intense Elul preparation program, an hour a day for 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, starting August 30th.
Also, it's better than going to the website to send an email to newchabora@gmail.com.
Ah, okay. So send an email to newchabora, that's N-E-W, newchabora, C-H-A-B-U-R-A, newchabora@gmail.com. Great. So thank you so much, Rabbi.